Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building something that's more than just an intro. We're building a proper old-school D&B DJ intro that actually works, in a mix, while still giving you that floor-shaking low-end identity once the track opens up. So think of this like two jobs at once. First, it has to be DJ-friendly, meaning clean phrasing, readable groove, and space for another record to sit on top. Second, it has to tease the heavy stuff so when the sub and drums fully arrive, it feels earned, not just slapped in there. We are doing this in Ableton Live 12, and we're keeping it intermediate, so I'm going to assume you already know your way around the arrangement view, basic routing, and stock devices. First thing, set your tempo. For this kind of D&B, 172 BPM is a great sweet spot. It feels right for modern drum and bass, but it still has that old-school jungle tension. Once that's set, think in phrases. 8 bars, 16 bars, maybe 32 if you want a longer blend-friendly opening. D&B lives and dies by phrasing, so don't just place sounds randomly. Give every section a job. For this lesson, I'd sketch the arrangement like this. Bars 1 to 8 are the clean DJ blend-in. Bars 9 to 16 start hinting at the bass and opening the energy, and bars 17 to 24 lead into the first heavier phrase or drop-ready section. Now let's build the intro bed. Start with a break layer. This could be an amen-style loop, a chopped break, or any classic break with character. Put it into a simpler and slice mode, or drop it into a drum rack and chop it up manually. The key here is restraint. In the first 8 bars, you want enough groove to keep it alive, but not so much low end that it crowds the mix. High pass that break somewhere around 120 to 180 Hz. You're not trying to make it thin forever, just making room for the sub and kick energy to arrive later. If you want a little jungle flavor, you can sprinkle in beat repeat very lightly on a few hits, but don't go crazy. Old school energy comes from personality, not overprocessing. Now add an atmosphere layer. This could be vinyl noise, room tone, a dark pad, or even a field recording if it suits the track. Put auto filter on it and start with the low pass fairly closed, somewhere around 4 to 8 kHz depending on the source. Then automate it open gradually. Small changes here go a long way. A lot of people make the mistake of doing giant sweeps, but in D&B, subtle motion usually sounds more professional and more menacing. You can also add a little texture with stock devices like Redux or Erosion. Keep it low, just enough grit to make it feel like a record being mixed in, not like the track is sitting inside a sound design demo. Echo can also work well on atmosphere, especially if you keep the feedback low and filter the repeats. Next up, the sub foundation. This is where the low-end identity starts to appear, but the trick is to make it feel late, not loud. That's a big mindset shift. The best low end often doesn't hit hardest because it's the loudest. It hits hardest because it arrives at the right moment. Use something simple like operator, wave-eatable, or analog. Start with a sine or near sine sub. Keep the attack short, release controlled, and the level clean. If you want a tiny bit of click or definition, you can add a slight pitch envelope, but be careful not to turn it into a synth bass that fights the drums. Put utility after the synth and keep it centered and mono. For club systems, that discipline matters a lot. A good move here is to hold the sub back until the last 4 bars of the intro, or even later, if you want more tension. When it finally comes in, it will feel massive because the listener's ear has already locked onto the groove. Now let's introduce the tease bass. This is where the intro starts to talk back. You've got two solid options here. One is a Reese tease. The other is a bass stab or call and response pattern. Both work, and both can sound very old school when used with discipline. For the Reese approach, use detuned saws in wave-eatable or analog, low-pass it, and automate the filter slowly over 8 bars. Keep the movement subtle. A little chorus ensemble or phaser flanger can help widen the mid-range, but don't spread the low end. That should stay focused and centered. For a bass stab approach, write short, punchy notes on the offbeats or on the end counts, and process them with saturator or roar. Keep the sub out of those stabs so they read clearly. If you layer too much low frequency underneath, the groove can get muddy very quickly. A really good D&B technique is call and response. Let the break speak on one bar, then answer it with a bass stab on the next. Or do it every 2 bars. That push and pull gives the intro movement without filling every inch of spectrum. Now let's make the drums feel alive. A static break loop can work for a second, but if you want that old-school DJ intro feel, you need edits. Chop in ghost notes, reverse little hits, change the last snare or kick of every 4 bars, and keep the listener slightly off balance. Not in a chaotic way, just enough to suggest that the record is moving forward. You can use groove pool for a touch of swing if the break needs more bounce, but be subtle. Around 54 to 58% swing is usually plenty, and even then only if the break really needs it. If the loop already has human feel, don't overgroove it into mush. On the break bus, drum bus can add a little smack and attitude. Just keep an eye on the low end. If the break starts stepping on the sub, use EQ8 to clean it up. High pass it if needed, dip some low mid boxiness around 250 to 400 Hz, and tame any harsh hat energy in the 3 to 6 kHz area if the top end gets too sharp. And remember, the intro should feel alive, but it should still be mixable. That leads us into automation, which is one of the most important parts of the whole lesson. Think like a mix engineer opening the door gradually. Don't just turn everything up. Instead, automate the filter cutoff on your atmosphere and bass tees, automate volume on the bass layers, and use send automation for reverb on select hits or snare ghosts. If you're using a high pass effect on the intro, you can even automate that down slowly so the bottom end appears in stages. A nice structure is this. Bars 1 to 4 are narrow, filtered, and sparse. Bars 5 to 8 add a little more drum motion and maybe one or two bass stabs. Bars 9 to 12 open the res or bass tone a bit more. Bars 13 to 16 bring the sub in more fully and set up the drop. That gradual reveal is what makes the intro feel powerful. The drop doesn't need to scream if the intro has done the tension work for you. Now let's talk about the low end as a system, not just a sound. Route your drums, bass, and FX into separate buses. Use a drum bus, bass bus, and FX or Atmos bus. On the bass bus, keep the sub mono and clean. Use a QA to remove anything unnecessary, and add saturator or roar if you need harmonics that help the bass translate on smaller speakers. But keep it controlled. You want density, not fuzz. On the drum bus, a little glue compressor can help bind the break together, but only gently. Aim for maybe 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. You want the groove to breathe, not flatten out. This is where mono checking becomes essential. Hit mono with utility and listen carefully. Does the sub stay solid? Does the kick still speak? Does the bass disappear or hollow out? If it does, reduce stereo widening on the source and keep width only in the upper harmonics or atmosphere. In drum and bass, the club system will expose low-end mistakes fast. Now let's build the transition into the drop. Your last 2 to 4 bars should increase tension without turning into a mess. Add just one or two focused transition elements. Maybe a reverse crash, a short riser, a snare roll, a filtered impact, or a downlifter with a reverb tail. Keep it intentional. One classic old-school trick is to mute the sub for half a bar before the drop. Just a tiny pocket of silence, then slam it back in on the first downbeat of the new section. That can make the drop feel physically bigger without adding any extra layers. If you want extra impact, you can also make a riser from a resampled bass note. Reverse it, filter it, maybe add a touch of reverb, and it'll feel more unified than a random stock riser. A few things to avoid here. Don't make the intro too full too soon. If everything is already playing by bar 4, the drop has nowhere to go. Don't let the kick and sub fight each other. Don't overwiden the bass. Don't drown the break in reverb. And definitely don't lose the DJ phrasing. If a DJ can't read the intro, it's not doing its job. A couple of pro-level thoughts before you finish. Keep the low end late, not loud. Use contrast inside the intro so it breathes. Don't overprocess the break, because old-school energy comes from character and snap. And keep checking the track on smaller speakers and headphones, because if the groove disappears outside the studio, the intro isn't really working. If you want to push this further, try making two versions. One version is a long mix DJ tool with a very clean first 8 bars and delayed sub-entry. The other is a heavier club intro with a faster build and more obvious bass tees. Both can be great, but they serve different purposes. So here's your quick practice challenge. Build a 16-bar DJ intro in Ableton using only stock devices. Use Simpler or Drum Rack for a chopped break, auto filter and reverb on an atmosphere track, operator or wave eatable for a sub patch, and one mid bass tee sound. Automate something across the 16 bars, add one break variation every 4 bars, and check the mix in mono. Then bounce it and ask yourself one question: can a DJ actually mix into this? If the answer is yes, and the low end feels like it's arriving with purpose, you're on the right track. That's the formula: space, groove, tension, and disciplined low end. Get that right, and your old school DNB intro won't just sound good, it'll work.